All right, Brother Smith, I'll turn this hour over to you, and you just take it the direction that the Lord would have you take it. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I got a big mouth. He gave me the microphone, almost don't need one, amen. But it's a joy to be here today in the service, and we just called and this past week, and the pastor graciously invited us to come and to be here in the service today. And during the morning service, we're going to show a DVD. It's a USB now, but it gets so many stuff with it, I can't even keep up with it no more. I used to have cassette tapes. Some of y'all don't even remember them, amen. But then 8-tracks, and then we went to DVDs and CDs, and now all that stuff going out. It's just going out. It's about don't have no more. I got a bunch of cassette tapes at the house and CDs at the house. Got, I think, 3 boxes of CDs and music and preaching. And I don't even have a CD player no more. So that's interesting, amen? But we'll be showing that during the service. And it covers about 40 years of our ministry. So I think that'll be interesting to you on that. But we're going to give you more of an update doing that. But we are, as I said, going to Brazil. Matter of fact, we was down there last year. We had a missionary that had not been home in over 6 years, and he could not find nobody to take the work. And I didn't have nobody in our other churches that was able to go take the work. So I told him, I said, well, if you can't find nobody, I'll go. Because that was part of our job as we've been a church planter and South American director. I've been the director for over 30 years, and my son is now raising support. He took over the South American director there. He was born in Brazil and in 1982, and now he is actually the South American director, but he did not have enough money to raise that he could go to stay there for 6 months. It actually was going to be close to 7, but the guy came back just a little bit early. But we went down in June of last year. We come back to the States on January the 8th of this year, and we took care of the work down there. So now we're going back to visit where we have been close to 40 years of our life there in Brazil. We have 10 churches down there, and you'll see some of those on the film this morning, or the USB that we'll be showing. And so we'll be preaching meetings in all 10 churches while we're there. So we ask you to pray, Lord, to keep our health up. We'll be preaching Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in all of those churches. And our son is hoping to go down also and to take his entire family. He and his wife and daughter came down about 15 years ago now, I guess it was. His daughter was a little less than 3 years of age. Now she'll be 21 in August. And she has been back since then. Jonathan finally got to go back last year. We preached the 40th anniversary of our first church, and Jonathan went down for it. And that's the first time he'd been in 13 years. So I ask you to pray the Lord would bless and all of that. We got our tickets bought, but we still need to raise about $7,000 to help pay all the other extra expenses. And then my son, he's got about half of what he needs for the trip. He got about $4,000 on the tickets, and his ticket's going to be close to $8,000 just to buy the ticket to go down to Brazil. Everything just getting expensive to do stuff for the Lord. But God's good. I bless his holy name for his goodness to us. I want you to open your Bibles in two places this morning, and we'll get into the Sunday school hour. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and then we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. Begin to study what the Lord would have us to use, and I hope it's to be a help to you in the Sunday school hour. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to speak for a little while this morning during the Sunday school hour on faith is. Faith is. What is faith concerning when it says, by grace are you saved through faith? There are many definitions of faith, and we see one of those in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But many times people give definitions of faith, and it leaves you more confused or less understanding as you hear them. Some man was teaching one time on faith, and he read the verse that we read there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And he said he would confound it, and it's very likely he did so. But I think he meant to say he wanted to expound it, amen. But preachers can, and even teachers, sometimes we can confound things more than we can expound them sometime in teaching. And we don't want to confound nobody today, but we won't be giving you anything new. But basically it's what you have heard many times from the pulpit on faith itself. And I've come to find out that faith has basically three parts in when we talk about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes down to knowledge, it comes down to belief, and it comes down to trust. So I wanted to see those three words this morning in the Sunday school hour about that. So first of all, there is knowledge. To have faith, then you got to have some knowledge about the Lord. In Romans 10:14, the Bible says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Now, we could preach all day just on that verse. There's so many people. There's over 8 billion people in the world. I want to tell you something this morning. That figure does not register in my brain. I don't have enough zeros up there for over 8 billion people. Somebody said it's close to 8.5 billion people now. They say over half of that number has never heard the name Jesus, has never heard the presentation of the gospel. And all the other half that has heard, most of them don't have a true understanding of faith. But we must first of all hear before we can believe. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They got to have the word of God preached to them. I know through singing, sometimes you get some things from the Bible, but I like that old-fashioned preaching. That's what gets the knowledge of the word of God out, is through the foolishness of preaching. The world thinks we're foolish what we're doing today. They think we're foolish for preaching. And the foolishness of preaching is what God uses to get the gospel around the world. We must hear before we can believe. And then we must hear in order to know what to believe. I tell you, to me, sometimes when I'm studying and just thinking sometimes, to me it's a miracle we have anybody getting saved today. Because on the radio, on the TV, there's such false teaching and false preaching on the Word of God. To me, I think a sinner must be most of the time confused of what they're hearing, because a lot of preachers don't preach the truth. A lot of people don't preach the Bible. There's so many versions of the Bible. I like what the church here stands for, the King James Version of the Bible. That's what I use. Matter of fact, to me, that's the only Bible there is. Amen. As far as the true word of God. But you got to hear in order to believe. Psalms 9:10 said, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Those that know thy name. And we know Jesus and we know God through the scriptures, through the preaching of the word of God. Now, I grew up in church. My dad got saved when I was 2 years old. And some here may even know my dad, but my dad was Buddy Smith, pastored over here at Fair Haven back in 65 to 68. But he preached for 56 years, pastored for 54. He's been in heaven now 11 years. This December will be 12. But he preached the word of God, and he brought us up in church. When dad got saved, he got saved. And he started going to church. He didn't go to church before he got saved, but when he got saved, he did. And we was in church every night. We lived in Pickens County, South Carolina, down to Easley, South Carolina. And back then, when Dad got saved in 54, you'd have 10 revivals a week. My dad felt called to getting all of them. I mean, we went to church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, our church Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We was in church. That's the way we grew up. And I had three sisters, and it ruined all of us. We're all saved. My oldest sister is married to a preacher. My middle sister married to a pastor. And then my youngest sister is married to a pastor. And it really warped us. Taking us to church all the time. We heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grew up hearing what God's word said. So when we know the word of God, we got to know it through hearing the word of God. A measure of knowledge is important to faith. Isaiah 55:3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." I'm going to tell you something. If we want to live, if you want to experience life, you got to know the scriptures, amen? You got to know what God wants out of your life through the word of God. And I'll take this thing up here so I won't go over time up here. But you got to incline your ear unto God. A lot of people don't want to listen to God. They hear the message, but they don't want to listen. It's a difference in hearing and listening. And all you wives say good to that. My wife says I have selective hearing. I hear what I want to. Amen. And that's the way most Baptists are. When the word of God's being preached, we have a lot of selective hearing. What we like, we take. But what we don't like, we change channels. Amen. And we don't listen to it. But we have to have the knowledge to have faith. And we have to seek to know God. Hebrews chapter 11 that I read there in verse 1. Just want to read verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we're going to have faith, we're going to have to seek God and to find out what God wants in our life. And I tell you, we're living in a day today, very few people are seeking knowledge. They're seeking everything else, but they're not seeking knowledge. There are a lot of false teaching, there are a lot of false preachers, there are a lot of false churches, false doctrine that are gathering crowds, but they don't have no knowledge. They don't know what the Bible says. A lot of people operate by feelings. If they feel good, they come to church. If they don't feel good, they don't come to church. They operate by feelings. I'm not saved by feeling. It feels good to be saved. I'm happy that I'm saved, but I'm not saved by feelings. And some Monday mornings, I don't feel saved. And some Tuesday mornings, I don't feel saved. If you go by feelings. But I don't go by feelings. I go by the word of God that I trust. I have a friend of mine that I pray with her just about once or twice a week. The devil's got her all, she has a problem with nerves and got her all messed up. And she keeps doubting her salvation. And I've talked to her, but she said she knows she's such to the Lord. She can just about give you the day when she trusted Jesus as her Savior. But the devil tried to tell her she's not saved. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have some doubt, it kind of bothers you. But I'm glad I've never, since the day I got saved, I've never doubted about being saved. Why? Because I base my salvation on the word of God. What God's word says, what I told her, you base your faith on the word of God. What God said, you done what God said, and God said he would save you. And God don't come back, take back on his word. And our knowledge comes through that. We have to know the gospel. It's good news. Praise God, in the gospel, we got free forgiveness. I remember the night I got saved, I don't think I had 2 cents in my pocket. I was 15 years old when I made a permanent decision for Christ and trusted the Lord as my Savior. Matter of fact, it was right here in Hendersonville, North Carolina, on the other side of 26 at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Dr. Percy Ray had just finished preaching that night, and I went to hear him preach. It was on April the 26th of 1968. It was my mother's birthday. We'd had a birthday party for her, but some of our church members was going over to hear Dr. Ray, and I went with them that night. And the Lord had been dealing with me about my salvation, and when he got through preaching that night, I won't get into all of that, but I got born again that night at 15 years of age. But since that night, I've never doubted my salvation. I had free forgiveness of sins. And then I had a change of heart. The Bible talks about taking out a heart of flesh, a heart of stone, and putting in a heart of flesh. That night, God gave me a heart of flesh. He gave me a new heart. God don't overhaul. He gives us a new heart. Amen. And we have adoption of sons. Praise God, I've been adopted into the family. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a son of a Jew. I'm a Gentile. But I got adopted in to the family of God. And I praise God that I'm one of his. I have eternal life today. I don't worry about going to hell. I'm not a bit worried about it. I go to sleep every night. I don't have any doubts about my salvation. I got that settled that night at the church. And the Lord give me eternal life. And then the sacrifice of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "And he was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And thank God this morning, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you have Jesus living on the inside. And then on top of that, the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're already there in Christ. And one of these days, soon, I believe we're going to be with him in the body. I believe we're living in the last days. The perilous times is 2 Peter 3. I believe he's already here. And I believe the coming of the Lord's imminent. We may not get through Sunday school this morning. Amen. I thank the Lord would come. Somebody asked me one time in Brazil, said, "Preacher, when do you think the Lord's coming? What day do you think the Lord's coming?" I said, "Sunday." "Sunday?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What time?" He said, "What time?" I said, "Down there, our church services start at 9 o'clock. And I said, "I think the Lord will come before 9. Or right around 9 o'clock. He said, "Well, why do you think that?" I said, "The Bible says the Lord's going to come when nobody is expecting it. And that's going to be Sunday at 9 o'clock. Amen. Of course, it'll be 9:30 here, 10 o'clock at a lot of churches. Somewhere around the world will be a different time. But most Baptists are not looking for the Lord on Sunday morning. And for even some Baptists are not here today. How you know, preacher? I've been in Baptist, been preaching for 58 years. I know Baptists pretty good. And there's a lot of Baptists all around, every church around here that's not in church today because they're not looking for the Lord to come. Some will fly in during the preaching service, but they won't come to Sunday school. They're not looking for the Lord to come. But he is a coming, and he's going to come get us. I'm looking forward to getting to see him face to face. So faith begins with knowledge. And then the mind then goes not only to knowledge, but goes on to believe the things that are true. Believe the things that are true. The soul believes that God is, that he listens, and that the gospel is from God, and that justification by faith is grand truth revealed by the Holy Spirit in these days. And we go on to believe what God has said. And I think a lot of people have problems sometimes believing what God says. Not necessarily what man says, but what God says. Preachers that preach the truth try to preach the truth. But sometimes we may not get exactly what we want to say right. But God's word's always true. And the truth of God's always real. The heart believes that Jesus is verily and in truth our God and our Savior, the Redeemer of men, the prophet, priest, and king of the people. And it helps us to believe that Jesus is real. We don't have to go around trying to find out if Jesus is who he says he is. God's word says who he is. And we believe that based upon the authority of the Word of God. 1 John 1:7 said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we believe that as Christians. I don't live without sin. I wished I could. I was preaching Wednesday night at our church. Our pastor was on vacation, and I was preaching, and I said, I wish there was a thing of getting above sin, where you could get to where you didn't sin in this life. I said, I'd be the very first one in line. We had a man visit our church years ago, back in probably 86, when we started our first church in 85, there in Brazil. We had a man, he's probably in his 50s, I guess, when he visited us. And I had a service, he shook my hand, he said, preacher said, I really enjoyed the service today. He said, I enjoyed the music. He said, I enjoyed the preaching. And we talked for a little bit. And he said, but I just want you to know, I don't sin. And my wife says, I have a lot of tact with people. I looked at him. I said, well, you might have been perfect up to right now. He said, what do you mean up to right now? I said, well, the Bible said, he that says he had those sins. Just sin. And the truth's not in him. And he never did come back. Amen. But I wish I could get to a place that I don't sin. I'm going to tell you right now, I have a lot of trouble with Robert Smith. Amen. Kathy don't give me as much trouble as I give myself. That guy you shave, that guy you comb your hair, brush your teeth, even being a lady, when you look in the mirror, that's the person you have the most trouble with. It's not your husband or your wife or your kids or your neighbor or the sister in church. My problem is me. Keeping myself in line. His sacrifice is complete and fully accepted on God, of God, on man's behalf. Thank God Jesus was the last sacrifice that needed to be offered. In the Old Testament, you go back and read all the way through the Old Testament, I'm going to tell you something. That was some bloody worship. The gold of the temple, sacrificed lambs. You read all the lambs. I mean, Solomon, you go back when he dedicated the temple, thousands of sheep, thousands of goats, thousands. Man, it must have been blood everywhere. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be gross this morning. But thank God we don't have to do that today. We don't have to, during the service this morning, cut a sheep's throat and get the blood out and put it on top of the altar for us, because Jesus did that about 2,000 years ago. He gave his life on Calvary. Now all we have to do is come to the house of God and worship him for what he's already done in our lives. Amen. Should get us a little excited. Come on, Baptist, wake up. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday school. Amen. We get excited at ball games. Woo! Preach, preacher. God bless you. Amen. We get excited about everything but church. But that's my biggest thrill is church. Now, when I had better health, I loved to play ball. And I still like ball, but my body just don't react to it no more. We used to play soccer a lot in Brazil. But I got to where my brain would say, kick the ball. My legs say, no. Amen. And then I started getting hurt. My wife made me retire from sports, amen. And a couple of years ago, we went down, first time in my life, we spent a week on the beach with our son, or the coast, excuse me. Christians go to the beach. They go to the coast. But anyhow, that's the first time in my life we spent a whole week with it with our son's family, and we was down there the whole week, and right next to where we were staying, my son got an awesome deal in a condominium down there. And we stayed all together, and we were 5 minutes from the coast, and right next to us was a tennis court. And they wanted to play tennis, and I used to play tennis. I got out there, and my grandkids laughed at me trying to run. It was hilarious. Now they don't even ask me to play no more. Amen. Now they're playing pickleball, but they don't even ask me to do that anymore. My son don't even take me golfing no more. I'm just getting too old. Well, that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. I get excited about church. I get excited about serving to Jesus. The difference between ordinary faith and saving faith lies mainly in the subject in which it's placed. our daily, if we have faith, you come in and sit on that pew this morning. I didn't see nobody getting down, looking under it, checking it, shaking it, making sure it's on right, hitting it to make sure it hold them up. You just come right in, plop right down on it. You know why? You had faith that bench would hold you. That's faith. That's ordinary faith. You got in there and you had faith. You took the key in the car or you mashed that button. You had faith that car would stop. Sometime it lets you down. You ever hit the button or turned the key and the thing didn't do nothing? I mean, don't even make... You don't even do that. It's dead. Like a lot of some of us are sometimes. Amen. But you had faith it would start. And it messes you up. Because most Baptists leave right on top of the hour to get to church. If a car don't start, you messed you up. If you got two cars, you're okay. But if you're down to one car, you got problems. Amen. So that's just an ordinary faith. But our saving faith is that we got our faith placed in Jesus and the God himself. That our salvation is based on him, not on us. It's what he's done, not what we've done. That helps us. Believe the witness of God, just as you would the testimony of your own father or friend. 1 John 5:9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Praise God, we got a witness from God today that said that he loves us and that he saves us and he'll save anybody, praise God. God's no respecter of persons. He'll save anybody. I heard we listened to a preacher coming up the road a while ago on 26, and he was preaching. He said, red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, and he still does. You used to sing that when I was a kid, and there, some churches are still singing it, but it's still true. God loves everybody. God wants to save anybody that'll trust him as his Savior. Then let me give you the last thing this morning. Only does it have knowledge, do we have belief? But then the last ingredient is trust. Trust. Trust is the lifeblood of faith. It's trusting Jesus. And I want to tell you something, and there's nothing better than to have your trust based in Jesus Christ. Not in the things of this world, not in the money, not in the political system of our world. I voted for Trump, in favor of Trump. But I'll tell you something. Trump's not the hope for our country. Hello? If he's affecting Trump to straighten it out, I'm afraid that's not going to happen. The only hope for our country is Jesus. We've got to get our churches on fire. We as Christians got to get on fire. We need a revival. I preach Wednesday night. We're having a revival next week, Brother Mark Stroud, at our home church. And he's coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to preach. But I preach Wednesday night on revival, the need of revival. And we do need revival in our home, in our heart, in our churches, in our nation. We need a revival of people getting woke up to the fact that we've trusted in God and we should get stirred up about the things of God. And there is no saving faith without trust. You got to trust Jesus that he did what he said he'd done. The Puritans expressed faith by the word recumbency, meaning leaning upon a thing or someone. And I'm going to tell you something. If you get saved, you're going to learn to lean on Jesus. We got a song about leaning on Jesus. And in our songbook, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, you learn to lean on him. God saved me 58 years ago. God called me to preach. I got saved in April. God called me to preach in August of that year. And in October, I think it was, for Haven Baptist Church, licensed me to preach. And I surrendered down in Tallahassee, not getting in all of that. But I started trusting in him, leaning upon him. And then in 77, God called us into missions. Now, in May the 1st of this year, we celebrated 49 years in missions. And then we've been able to do what we've done because we've learned to lean upon him. Trust him in our lives. And with all of our heart, with all of our weight, and with all of our problems, we learn to lean on Christ. We need to fall full length and trust the Rock of Ages in our life. And cast yourself upon Jesus. I was just thinking about that. Peter says, casting all you care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves us. He cares about us. He's interested in us. He wants to see us doing well. He wants to help us. And we need to learn to rest in Him. So faith is not a blind thing, for faith begins with knowledge. And when you get knowledge, then you get some no-so. We used to have a preacher friend of ours, Pastor Clyde Billingsley. He used to say all the time, you need to know that you 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 know you've been born again. And I always like that. You need to know that. That needs to be something assured in your life. Just a few weeks ago, over the last several months, I guess since the first of the year, we've had several people to get saved in our church. A couple had joined our church last year. And we was at a couples retreat up in Pigeon Forge last week of April, wasn't it? In the first few days of May. And on Friday night, we had a preacher, Brother Adam Lamb, from up in Morristown, Tennessee, preach to the couples. And then after that, we just went into a singing session. And the singing session turned into a testimony session. And then it turned into the Holy Ghost session. The Holy Ghost moved in. People got down, started thanking God for the blessings in their life and their home and everything. And I saw a man and his wife, a good friend of ours, over there praying. And some gathered around, prayed with them. And then they started testimonies again. All at once, a lady said, Preacher, said, I want to thank God for saving me tonight. Man, it shocked everybody. Even shocked her husband. And it shocked our pastor. She got saved that night. And the other night we had a service. After service, one of the men in the church had just joined, I think, two years ago. He joined. I'm getting old. I can't remember time frames anymore. But at his church, he walked up to the preacher's shovel, come down. We had several children to get saved. And some other got saved. And he walked up, preacher, at the church, going out the door. The preacher's going to let you know, I got saved tonight. Shocked the preacher again. We thought he was saved. Evidently he did. But later on, his wife said, I've been praying for his salvation. And that really shocked me when she said that. But she saw something some of us didn't see because she lived with him. Hello. If you need to know anything, just ask your wife or ask your husband. Amen. They live with us 24/7. Amen. They know all about it. We put on a pretty show at church. Put on a nice suit or a nice dress, have our hair all fixed up and all that stuff. But God knows all about us. Amen. And that knowledge. It is not a speculative thing, for faith believes facts of which it is sure. When I said we base our beliefs on this Bible. I was witness to a guy years ago. It's 10:09, so I'm going to be done right on time, preacher. I'm not going to go over. Amen. But I was witness to a guy I worked with City Water and Light in Evesley, South Carolina. I was the only Christian on my crew of 13 men. Rough. I mean, there was some roughings on that crew. Had one man, he lived with the Indian squaw. They weren't even married. He just lived with her. And I started talking to him about Jesus. And I talked to him about the Bible. He looked at me and he said, I don't believe in the Bible. I said, you don't? He said, no. I said, well, I can't help you then. I turned around and walked off. And you said, well, preacher, I wouldn't have done that. Well, if you don't believe the Bible, you've got no basis to work with. Amen? Because everything we believe comes from this book. But listen, in the story, about 3 weeks later, one day we were out working together. I mean, I didn't write him off, but I still talked to him. About 3 weeks later, he walked up to me. He said, they called me Rev. Said, Rev, said, I know I told you I didn't believe in the Bible, but said, I've been thinking on some of that stuff you've been talking to me about. And I was able to witness to him. He never made a profession of faith, and he quit the job and went somewhere, but I think about him every now and then. I hope something that I planted, that the Word of God planted in his heart, caused him to get saved. I hope I see him in heaven. Amen. But that's been years ago. I mean, years ago. That's before we was ever even in mission. So that's been over 50 years ago. But I hope he got saved, amen. It is not an unpracticable, dreamy thing. For faith trusts and stakes its destiny upon the truth of revelation, amen. I want to read one verse of scripture and I'm finishing. In John chapter 3, verse 36. I'll find that real quick here. John 3, 36. What's up here? John 3, 36. Let me get to it here. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. There's only one way to be saved, and that's believe in Jesus Christ. Right. Works won't save you. We deal with people every day in Brazil. Their whole religion is based upon works, getting them to heaven. They think because they treat the neighbor good, or they give money to the church, or even if they go to church, that one day or another, they're going to get into heaven. And there are a lot of Baptists think the same thing. I mean, it's wonderful to come to church. I think every saved person will be in church. Woo! Preacher, God bless you. I've got a different opinion than what some preachers do. I don't believe you all have to stay on somebody's doorstep to get them in church. If they get born again, they'll want to come to church. I enjoyed going to my father's house when he was alive. That was my dad's house. I remember one time, I think I got 3 minutes. Hold on just a second here. Yeah, got 3 minutes. We just walked in, got there kind of late that night. And when we walked in, and Dad was taking a shower and getting ready for bed, I went into the freezer, my dad's house. Pulled out some Black Cherry Briars ice cream and got it. And the last scoops of the Black Cherry ice cream. And I went into the living room, sitting there and was eating ice cream, finishing up. Dad come out of the shower and looked at me and said, "Well, glad y'all got here all right." I said, "Yeah, we're here." And he walked on in through the kitchen and he was in there for a few minutes. And then he come to the door, he said, "Who got my Black Cherry ice cream?" I said, "I did." He said, "That's all right." I said, "I'll eat something else." I looked at Kathy, I said, "Good thing it wasn't you." Amen. But I was good because that's my father's house. And that's the way I feel about church. I'm not a member here at Calvary Baptist Church. But I feel at home. Because you're our family. We're the family of God. Amen. We're born again, washed in the blood, and we're going to heaven. Amen. But I hope faith is anchored in your heart. I hope faith, you're trusting in him with knowledge and with belief and trust. That what you have in Jesus will help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, today for the privilege of being here today. We hope the scattered remark, Father, will be a help to somebody. Father, we didn't really understand exactly why you wanted this morning, but you do, and we're in your hands. And I pray, God, that you bless your pastor, bless the church, and their church in the search of a pastor. Father, that you'd help them. And Father, we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And I'm blessing the service this morning. Be somebody here lost, you'd save them. Be somebody discouraged, you'd encourage them. And Father, I pray for old-fashioned sin-killing, hell-robbing revival, Lord, to break out in our heart. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.